All right. Good morning, everybody. Y'all come on in. Zoom has been acting weird this morning. I had to record a bunch of videos before y'all, and it kept giving me these error messages logging in. And I was all worried that this call was going to go to the toilet. And then it didn't. But then when I was trying to get in, I don't know, it was blipping weird. I was like, maybe, I don't know, maybe the ice storms and snowstorms have gotten Zoom too. So, all right. Today is just coaching with me. So I'm back. If you were following last week, I was out. We had planned this vacation for a long time. We were going with friends. It was my best friend Jane's 50th birthday party, all kinds of stuff. And then we had heard that we were going to have, really rough weather here over the weekend. And so we really contemplated whether or not we should go because we'd be leaving Logan at home. We decided, well, we're going to go. I just couldn't just shit out on Jane. And I was like, Logan will be fine, whatever. Then we get like the worst ice storm since 1994. There are still people in Nashville who will not have power for at least another week or so. We are not one of them. Just so everybody knows that we always have a huge generator put in to every house, like the last house and this house. We got one of those big Generac, I think is the name of it. Diesel. It's got a V8 engine in it, if it says anything. But we always get a big generator because I do Zoom calls and you never know when the power is going to go out. And I need to be able to run my online business. So we always invest in one. And then, so we knew Logan would be taken care of that way. But anyway, we ended up having to stay in Vegas way longer than we wanted to. So we just worked from there. But it was a long trip. I'm so glad to be back home. So all right, we have one person who wants coaching today. If anybody else wants coaching, you need to raise your hand. Otherwise, we will coach the one person, and then we will get out of here. All right, if you want to get coach, somebody asked, how do I get in the queue? You have to raise your hand. That's all you got to do. So if you go onto Zoom, there's a little feature. It'll let you raise your hand. Let's see. Is my person coming up? Forgot who I called. Oh, there we are. Okay. Lord, your name went down, and I was like, I forgot who I called on. All right, Catherine, what are we
Hi.
coaching on today?
It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, hey.
I'm so excited. Corinne, I actually wrote out some notes because I thought I'd be nervous, so I didn't want to like ramble on.
Okay.
I feel like I'm at a crossroads, and that's why I wanted to get on the coaching call today. So I've been doing no BS for about 2 years, and I haven't made the progress I want with weight loss. I've, stayed within that 5 pounds. And I feel like I'm a content junkie. Like I listen to the call replays, I do everything. I actually had private coaching for a while. It was great. But so I've really thought about what I think my biggest challenge is, and I would say it's wine on the weekends.
Okay.
And I tend to drink, more than I ever intend. And I make all these promises to myself that it won't happen again. And then I find myself at the wine store every weekend. During the week, I'm,
You just find yourself.
what's that? I just appear at the wine store. No,
Yeah, that the only reason why I joke, y'all, is because I do believe this 100% that how you frame your problem to yourself gives you the quality of the solution you give yourself. So if I just say, I just find myself there, like it just happens. I'm just walking through the store like a zombie. What happened to me? Your brain knows. If you're just finding yourself there, it shuts down on solutions because that is outside of my control. Now, if I say every weekend, at this moment, I know when it is. This is when I decide I'm going to go, and I need to know why I'm deciding to go. Now my brain is like, I got a problem. It's like our brains hate an open loop. So an open loop is like where we have been watching and catching up. We never watched Grey's Anatomy, and so we started watching it finally. And some seasons, the last two episodes to the first episode of the next season, are so dramatic that I will sacrifice sleep, even if Chris is asleep, and I will watch it. No, we'll just watch it again tomorrow night. I'm making the decision because my brain is like, I gotta know if they died. I gotta know if they died. Like, oh my God, are they writing this character out? The same thing happens when you were like on the wine thing. If you've closed the loop on, well, I just find myself there. Your brain's like, oh, okay, we know exactly why we're there. Zombie behavior. It's like it's some kind of like weird wand miracle. So I don't need to fix this at all. Now, if you say, I've been watching Brain, and every Friday, the closer it gets to 5 o'clock, I notice these excuses come up. I notice these things happen. I notice I start thinking blah, 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 blah. And the second I tell myself I'm not going to go drink wine, then my brain bitches and says, but you deserve it. But this, but that. How will you ever relax? It won't be any fun. Now you have a problem to solve. Now your brain is like, well, no wonder we keep going in there. Now we need to figure out how we're going to talk to ourselves. Now we got to figure out, why am I only able to have fun with wine on the weekend? Why do I got to be drunk to have a good life? Like, now I got open loop questions and my brain's got to answer them because the brain will not have an open loop. It will close that motherfucker. So, tell me what the crossroads is for you. You're trying to decide what, because you said, I'm at a crossroads. And I know my problem is I'm drinking wine on the weekends. So what are we trying to decide?
So here's what it is. So I just completed Dry January and I've done
Oh, so you didn't find yourself there every weekend?
it. This is so funny.
Yeah, like I love how like it's like, well, in dry January, the zombie life appearance goes away, but it's February.
Right. So I've done Dry January 3 years in a row, and I guess here's my crossroads. So I'm not sure if I want to never drink again. I think, all right, I'll answer it. I do want to have wine again.
Why?
But what happens is every year I say to myself that I'm not going to fall back to my old patterns. And I say that coming off Dry January, and then I find myself back in my old patterns. And then in December, I'm like, okay, another year has gone by. Your weight has stayed the same. And here you go again. And I guess it's like, I want to find a way to like have balance,
Why do
and
you want to
not
drink
break
as much?
promises in myself. What's up?
The first question is, why do you want to start drinking again? Knowing that it is like, here's what we know is going to happen with your drinking. You are for sure. The problem with dry Januaries is that it doesn't teach you how to form a new habit. It teaches you how to abstain. And you've got years of proof of this. You've said, I've done this for, what'd you say, 3 years in a row now? Yeah, you've got 3 years of historical proof that says when I do dry January, all I'm doing is making myself not drink. I'm not exploring during dry January how much better my life is without it. Did you do that this January? Did you like write every day about how like much better your life is? Did you do that part?
I did, and that's Corinne, that's why I'm like, why do I even want it? Because I do feel so much better, and I actually my anxiety like goes away and I'm happier. I don't know if it's the forbidden fruit thing. I don't like.
Tell me why you want to go back to drinking. You know the reason why. You just need to tell me.
I think, well, and I did have cravings during Dry January, especially toward the end. I tend to use it for entertainment on the weekends when I have nothing to do, and to deal with boredom.
So we know
So,
exactly why we want to go back to wine. Instead of learning how to entertain ourselves, instead of trying new things in life, instead of figuring out our weekends to where they would be fun, we're like, we should just go back to the drinking.
during the day, like it's during the day, I do enjoy so many things. Like and I get creative and I do different things. It's that Saturday night at 5:30 when it's cold out, and and my husband and I haven't gone out, and he tends to go to bed early, not at 5:30, but goes to bed
He's
early,
like,
and then.
mine half the time is snoring by 6:30. I'm going to tell you right now, there is, and he'll sleep till 7 or 8 o'clock the next day. And I'm like, I wish I could, I'm like, just bleed on me or something. Surely there's something in your blood that will like get me to be able to sleep like you.
So it's
I'm jealous.
that 5:30, putting the Netflix on, not really sure.
Why is that hard for you though? Like you're talking about this as if like, well, when he goes to bed early and it's cold outside, that just equals I gotta drink. Otherwise it's miserable. Why is it miserable? Or why is it, I don't even know if you, what would you call it? I'm putting the words in your mouth. You said it was boring.
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Why is it uncomfortable? Because that's not because you're not drinking, and that's not because of cold. What are you
Probably,
feeling?
yeah, it's probably, just sitting on a Saturday night. Like I do things on weekends, but many times I don't go out every night. And it's like sitting. There's something about sitting on a Saturday night in front of the TV that just without having it, that just feels uncomfortable.
Well, you need to think about it because that is the only thing standing between you and losing weight this year.
So, Corinne, when you hearing my story, do you feel I could have any balance with it?
I don't
Or is
think
that.
it's the, I think you're just trying to work on the wrong problem. Like you're so desperate to figure out how to keep drinking rather than I really want to know why Saturday nights by myself in front of the TV make me want to get drunk. And I don't know if you're getting drunk, but tipsy. But I just want you to just, we just need to let you see what the real problem is. The problem isn't the wine. The problem is on Saturday nights, something goes on for me that's so uncomfortable that I will spend an entire year not losing weight and hating that, so I don't have to feel that on a Saturday night. And I even want to somehow figure out how to keep alcohol in rather than solve why am I miserable on Saturday nights? Why is it so uncomfortable for me? Why is it not glorious that I get time by myself? Why is it not feeling like fucking freedom that he goes to bed and I get to watch whatever the fuck I want to watch? Like, I'm gonna tell you right now, you describe my Saturday nights. And my Saturday nights feel glorious. I love having nothing to do. I love no commitments. I even like it when Chris goes to bed early because I can just, like, if I want to fuck around on my phone and not hear him bitch that I don't want to have to repeat every scene to you because you spent 30 minutes on Instagram while we're watching the show, I don't have to listen to that shit. I can just rewind it if I want to. To me, there's no discomfort in that. But we've got to, because my thoughts about a Saturday night alone, when it's, 5 degrees outside and my husband's gone to bed, are really different than yours. And we got to figure out what that is because I don't want you trying to figure out how to balance, like, I just need to know how to put some balance in with alcohol because what you're really saying is, I don't want to feel good on Saturday night. I want to feel numb on Saturday night. So, can you tell me how much alcohol I can drink on a Saturday night to numb my uncomfortable life and still lose weight this year? That's the problem you're trying to currently solve. And I think that's a shitty problem to solve.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a lot of reasons why it's uncomfortable. I think I don't want to hog your whole time this
You're good.
morning.
Let's keep going. There's a
But
lot of women in here. If I have anything to guess, I think a lot of people in the chat are probably like, or, yeah, they're already talking about it. This covers many people.
I think it's probably many things. I think the weekend just feels different to me than during the week. During the week, sitting and watching Netflix, drinking tea, I'm not uncomfortable. I think there's something, the way I perceive a weekend and what it's supposed to be like is probably tied to it. Like weekends are
What do you
supposed to
think?
be
Oh, go
more
ahead.
fun, more entertaining, like and so when I don't have anything to do on like a Saturday night, my first thoughts are food and wine. Like, well, at least I can entertain myself that way.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to quit calling it entertainment from now on. I
Okay.
want you to
All right.
call it numbing.
Okay.
It's not, you know how I know it's not entertaining you? You're getting coached on spending an entire year not able to lose weight. It's not entertaining you at all. It's actually causing you pain. And so we need to like this is why I always say to y'all, so important how you phrase problems in your life. And it's very important how you phrase what you're doing. Because what we want to make the thing about your brain is it's got there's a motivational triad. I'm not gonna go into the deep cuts of it, but essentially the biggest thing that your brain will ever work hard on is to avoid pain. Now, right now, you have made Saturday nights and being bored painful, so much so that it's got your brain working on, well, fuck weight loss. How do we like solve that? And what I want you to do is I want you to start telling your brain, like, this is not entertaining at all. I spend countless amount of hours trying to figure out how to lose weight, and every Saturday night I unwind it. It's not entertaining. It's actually, I'm getting bored with it. I'm getting frustrated with it. I'm getting upset by it. Like you start doing that, then your brain is like, we really should work on this alcohol problem. We really should work on this alcohol problem. But when you keep saying like, well, I mean, the food and the wine, it's, you know, that's my entertainment. Your brain's going like, why would we ever let go of that? That's a good thing. So we articulate the problem in a way that motivates our brain to want to seek a better solution. That will help. So we're not going to call it entertaining anymore because the truth is, it's not entertainment. It's numbing at best. It's passing the time. It's keeping you from figuring out how to truly appreciate a quiet Saturday night. And then you get to decide, well, if I want to be entertained so bad on Saturday nights, then it's not enough for me to just have fun during the day. I need to have fun at night. And if my husband's going to go to sleep, I owe it to myself to figure out how that's going to happen for me. Because my brain is figuring out one way, it just sucks. Now, when you talk about balance with wine and everything, it's just what I want everybody to understand. Balance with the wine comes when you're no longer using wine as a substitute for your feelings. So, for example, I used to drink a lot, like all the time. Like my husband and I, we went out like 3 nights a week. I was always like, oh, so stressful. Like there was like a lot going on. This was a few years ago. It was two houses ago, if that. We've been in the last few years chronic movers because of my son and his education. But I had gotten to where like we were just going out a lot. Now we never drink at home, so we just started going out more. And we would have all these excuses, and I was feeling like ass the next day and whatnot. But it was really hard for me to figure out, like, what do I want my relationship with alcohol is. Now, I did a lot of different things. I did some titrating down. I tried lots of things, but the most powerful thing I did was really understand why I was wanting to drink so much to begin with. What was I numbing? What was I avoiding? And this is the same work we do with food. There's no difference between alcohol and food, y'all. The only difference between alcohol and food is alcohol, we don't use hunger and enough. That's the only, because you don't need alcohol. But What I figured out was I needed to work on my stress levels. I was allowing myself to believe that my job was just stressful. I was always like trying to do too much in my business. I worried about every little thing. I was consumed with what every member thought of me at every moment of my life. I worried about everything I typed in the Facebook group. It wasn't until I started figuring out, like, why am I ending up so stressed at night to the point to say, let's go drink and have like 3 and 4 date nights a week. I was calling it a date night. I had to stop calling it date night and just say, like, tonight I'm stressed drinking. This is what this is. This is not fun. This is not entertaining. This is me having an inability to deal with my life right now. And when I started talking about it that way, boy, was I highly motivated to start changing it and to start figuring out, like, you cannot live and die by the opinions of other people. No way to live your life. And I had to figure that out. And then I had to, like, I just had to keep figuring out things. I had to figure out new ways to de-stress. I had to figure out all the things that I was stressing over and decide whether or not they were worth stressing over. I didn't even realize how many things I just worried about because other people worried about it. So I thought I should too, and that I'd be a bad person if I didn't. And then I was like, maybe they're wrong. Maybe this is some bull fucking shit to worry about. So I think for you, it's like looking at if I want to, like, if entertainment is high on my list, then I need to solve for entertainment, true entertainment. Or is it really entertainment? Or do I think if I'm not doing something on a Saturday night, that means what about me?
I think you nailed it,
What
partly.
are?
Yeah, it just makes me feel, I just feel like old and boring, I guess.
Well,
And
yeah, no
then
wonder you want to drink. If you're calling a Saturday night, a quiet Saturday night, old and boring. Like, I will tell you what, I don't call it old and boring. I call it smart, earned. And, oh, like, I'm going to tell you right now, I got a whole week ahead of me full of people in my house, 4 straight days. And I'm already dreading it because I'm just like, I won't be able to go to bed and watch the TV when I want to. And I won't be able to do my boring shit.
It's all how you frame it. It totally is. And the other day, I actually said to myself, you're making yourself older by drinking. And that
Oh, yeah.
really helped me. And I keep trying to say that to myself because I'm like, when I don't drink, my skin looks better. I have more energy like a younger person. So I think like everything you've said to me is, it's really about how I frame it. And yeah, so I'm going to watch this again and like listen to this because I definitely think there's many nuggets in there that I can pick up on.
Yeah, I want you to just focus though. Like, if you pull one thing out of this, I really want you to focus on the whole, I have decided that sitting around on Saturday nights mean I'm old and boring. And that is the real problem. Because if I didn't think my Saturday nights were old and boring, I wouldn't want to spice it up with food and booze. I wouldn't be looking for balance and stuff. I would really be trying to figure out what do I want to call my Saturday nights? And if I don't want to just sit at home, then why am I not just creating the experience I want? Because that is all in your control, every ounce of it.
Yeah, and if I stay home, how can I create an experience that feels like maybe a little more special than during the work week?
Yeah. Or just love what you already do. That's always the easiest path to get there is to stop calling what you already do old and boring and just say, I'm just going to try doing this for a few weeks because it must be what I want to do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. Like, somewhere in me is wanting to be at home. It could be because it's cold outside. Just like I didn't go to church this morning. My brother and I debated, debated, debated. It started snowing this morning. Like, I think Nashville is in a trauma response right now from last weekend. And it was like 5 degrees. And so at our church, you park down this like massive hill and it's a hike. I mean, whatever. And so my brother texted, he said, you want to go to church this weekend? I mean, I don't know. Like, we're thinking maybe next weekend. And I said, I don't want to go. I said, because it's cold. It's really cold for us. And I don't know if the ice is still on the side. There's a lot, like, our stairs and everything are an ice rink right now. Nothing has melted for us. And I was like, I don't want to slip and fall. I said, but next weekend, we are going whether we want to or not. We're not breaking our habit. So I just told him, I said, we had the conversation, which means we're still in the habit of church. We're talking about it and we're deciding. So next weekend, we're making the decision right now. We're going. I will be at your house. And I told him what time I was going to be there. So you just want to be thinking about, like, how do you want to think about these things? How do you want to experience your life? Because, like, today, you know, I had to make some decisions about how I was going to spend my day and how I was going to do things. And I needed to get myself into the right frame of mind. Otherwise, I might feel guilty all day, or I might feel relieved. And if I allow myself to feel relieved that I didn't go to church this weekend, guess what happens next weekend? My little brain is going to want to crave relief and come up with another excuse. So we just have to think about these, like, so much of our life. If you want to live a good life, it's very decisive. It's very intentional. We don't just fall into a good life. It doesn't just, what do you say? We don't just find ourselves in a good life. We create that life. And all of it starts with how we think about it and what we allow ourselves to think about it. And so, like, for you, it's like these weekends, it's like you have 1,000 options. You can learn how to sit there and not make it so uncomfortable you want to drink and eat. You could learn how to just have gratitude, how to, like, just appreciate this is the part of the year where it's too cold to go do things. So this is the part of year that I get entertained in new ways. And this is also the year I lose my weight because I figured out how to really entertain myself.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm
All
so
right.
glad I did this.
Okay.
All right. Thank you,
Bye-bye.
Corinne.
Oh, let's see.
Do I have to do?
No, I got it. I got it. It just takes me a minute sometimes. All right. When I am physically uncomfortable due to pain after surgery, I find myself wanting to eat when I'm not hungry. Everybody does that. It is the body has a natural response to pain. So it's like when it comes from, like, when we were infants, whenever you eat, very often there is some dopamine that's released. There's also, I can't think of the, it's like an opioid. I forget the name of the oxytocin, I think, or something like that. Anyway, certain foods will trigger those. So, like, with autistic children, very often they crave a lot of dairy because dairy has oxytocin in it and it settles their brain. So anyway, it's very common that when you are in pain that food becomes like a self-medicator. So it's not weird that you get urges. You just want to know that you're having those urges so that you can just tell yourself, oh, I'm only hungry because I am in pain. Is there any way else that I can make this better for myself? Is there, like, sometimes what we do is we dogpile on top. There's a lot of studies that show managing your mind is really important to pain levels because if, let's say that you're at a level 8 on pain, you've had surgery or something, and you say, I wish this wasn't happening. This sucks. I should have never had this surgery. I don't know when this will ever end. Like, if you allow your brain to just kind of, like, do that, you're now taking a level 8 of physical pain and you're layering in adrenaline and cortisol on top, which is going to take it to like a level 10 because you're putting emotional pain on top of it. And when you have, like, cortisol and stuff going through your brain, it will also make physical pain worse. It will feel worse, plus physically it can turn up the dial. The important thing is to recognize what's happening. Oh, I'm wanting to eat because of this. Am I thinking anything right now that could be agitating my physical pain? Is there anything that I could tell myself that is full of love, compassion, and understanding? Very often, when you turn the dial down on some of the mental chatter that goes along with surgical pain, physical pain, you will notice that it can also make the physical pain more tolerable. I have had many surgeries, like my whole family, we've had all the surgeries. And I will tell you, bitching, moaning, and complaining is the first way to ramp up physical pain outside of what it already is. Let's see what else you said. Think it's an attempt to distract from the pain. Exactly. I do use medications, but they do not always manage the discomfort enough. Can you suggest some alternative distractions? Exercise, even walking, is out for now. I wouldn't try to distract. I would actually try to focus in on, like, what could you be telling the area that's healing? What could you be telling yourself that's comforting? I would start there. I would try to create a sense of, I am taking care of myself. I am doing all I can for my body. I am experiencing pain, and I also want my body to know what. Like, I would do that. Otherwise, just watch. I mean, if you just need a distraction, everybody's got one. Facebook, Instagram, listen to an audiobook. I mean, there's a million distractions in the world. Turn on Netflix, binge watch shows. Like, I don't think it's what you really want is distractions. Otherwise, I mean, it's not like y'all act like it's really hard to come up with distractions in this day and age. No, that's not the hard part. The hard part is when you're in pain to not make pain worse by layering in emotional pain on top of it. It's unfair. I wish this wasn't here. It shouldn't hurt this bad. This sucks. All of that makes physical pain worse than it is. And it's not easy, but it's worthy work. And it will translate into your weight loss. I want you to all think about this. If you're having physical pain and you can talk to yourself in such a way that you can be compassionate and understanding and stuff, what do you think happens when you start having emotional pain in life? You've trained yourself on the skill of knowing how to respond to any pain. Because guess what your brain does? Your brain treats physical threats and physical pain exactly like it does with emotional threats and emotional pain. It doesn't know that they're any different. It just senses pain. It just senses threat. And so what we have to do is we have to recognize that our minds are very powerful. Use them for good. Don't use them for the negative. When is the new maintenance course due to be released? I am not sure, Emma. It is currently being worked on. Coach Lizzie is working on it. She's doing, I know she's, if you're in that Facebook group, the maintenance group, if you go over there, she's been doing some like research over there, asking certain questions, doing lots of things in that group. So you can go over there and you can probably find out a lot of information on it. But Coach Lizzie is the one who is steering the ship of the maintenance. All right, Beth, you're up. Hello, Beth. How are you?
Good, thank
Has anybody
you.
ever told you look like Coach Betsy?
No.
I swear when you came on, I was like, boy, she looks like Coach Betsy. That's funny. All right, what do you want coaching on?
It's kind of along the same lines as what you were just talking about with pain.
Okay.
I just yesterday injured my knee while at the dojo doing kickboxing. And I'm
All
having
at the dojo. I love y'all.
at the
I swear to God,
dojo,
you're over
yeah.
there kickboxing. Like, I got my, we have a member named Paula years ago. She got an injury MMA fighting.
Okay. I'm not doing any of that, but
was like training at an MMA studio and got an injury. I was like, oh my God, no BS women. That is what we do. We like do hardcore. That's what we do.
yeah. So I guess I'm just having difficulties because I was just getting back into getting back to the dojo after a shoulder injury that kind of, sidelined me for like a year. And I really enjoy being there. I enjoy the people. I enjoy the exercise. And now I'm like just thoughts of, oh my God, how long is it going to take to get better? Some, feeling a little
Well,
bit
how long do you think it's going
embarrassed.
to take? Well, let's just start going
I'm
one by one. How
I
long do you
know.
think it's going to take?
Maybe a couple weeks.
Okay, so we can just answer that question rather than letting our brain, like right now your brain is like, how long is this going to take? Well, you know your shoulder took a year. I mean, our brain loves to just be like, well, oh, we're gonna have it's like it wants to grab a smoke and just sit there and just like complain and go at it with you. And it's like, no smoking. It's not what we're doing. So I want you to just every time it says, you know, how long, say like, it's probably a couple of weeks at best. Because that's gonna settle you more than just letting it be like, and the last time, and it, you know, because then it'll recount every painful moment of waiting around. And that is what I was talking about in the last one. That's like we're just dumping emotional pain on top. Okay. So you just kind of have to decide for yourself for the next couple of weeks, how do I want to show up for myself knowing I love physical activity? Like how do I prepare my mind to get back to it? And how do I like every time I would have surgery, it was really hard for me the first couple of times I had surgery after my weight loss because in my mind, I was going to just gain weight. Like I just knew it. And honestly, I didn't really know because I had never, like, first of all, I'd never lost my weight before. So I didn't know how I was going to show up for anything. So me trying to predict it was always going to be predicting on old, like the old version of me. I never really thought to predict stuff on the new version of me. I didn't have thought work, so I didn't understand that. So I'd go into it scared as shit. But the one thing I did that was really good for me was every time I would say, you know what? In my past, if I stopped going to the gym ever, I would always just quit. So knowing that I'm not going to be able to work out for like 8 weeks, what do I need to do during 8 weeks to make sure that I'll be ready to go back to the gym, that it will be like day one? So I would look forward to it. Every day I would think about, you know, being able to go. I decided that what was going to now count is physical activity. So like the first week when I couldn't do anything, planning workouts counted, deep breathing counted, laying in bed and meditating about going back to the gym counted. I would check it off like, Angie did your exercises this week. Angie did your exercises this week. And it kept my brain thinking about what I most wanted instead of what I most feared. So we got that one, but now we're embarrassed. So not only are we being dramatic about how long it's going to take, but we're also embarrassed. Why are we embarrassed that we had a kickboxing injury because they never happened at studios ever?
Well, just it was just I twisted my knee the wrong way. Like it's nothing, but just that I have to sit back again. I was just getting
But
back
why is that
into it.
embarrassing?
I don't know.
But you're not explaining your shame. Like you literally just explained this is normal. People twist their knees at a kickboxing studio. I'm gonna need to take some time. You said I'm gonna have to sit back.
I guess it's because I'm gonna have to take time off again. Like I just got back.
But why is that embarrassing? You still haven't told me what you're thinking that embarrasses you about that.
I guess it's worrying about what other people think, maybe.
So what do you think they're
Having
thinking?
to go in and explain why I'm not participating or not participating in everything.
Okay, so you are going to be going to the studio.
Well, I'll probably be going because I usually go with my son, so I
Okay,
want
so you're
him to
going to go with
continue
your
going. So I'm
son.
going to go.
Okay. And what will you be doing while you're there, other than obsessing what everybody is thinking of you?
Probably for
about it.
the
Let's leave
first
that aside.
probably just for the first few classes, I'll just, sit it out. I wanna like take the time for it to heal so it doesn't get injured again or it doesn't take longer. But
So, do you think people will ask you? What do you think they're going to, what do you think realistically people are going to
I
say?
know what they're gonna, because I've been through it before. They're all very nice and usually
Okay.
have lots of encouraging words and maybe ideas about, how to get back sooner, I don't
Okay,
know.
so it's really not about them. Why are you embarrassed then? Because you've already said, I already know what they're going to say. I already know that they're nice people. I already know they're not judging me. So why are you actually embarrassed? What is it going on inside of you?
Has it happened again? I don't know.
And what's coming up now?
Just feel like I'm not going to be able to continue. Like it, I keep bumping into these injuries that maybe I should stop and find something else to do.
Well, other than stopping, what do you think these injuries could be saying?
I'm getting older.
Okay, maybe you are getting older, but then what else could they be saying?
Don't know, like I need to slow down, but I haven't even really, I've been only going a couple days a week for a little while now, so I am trying to take it easy going back in.
But is it hard for you because you think that these injuries mean you're getting older?
Yeah, and I'm trying to do things so that I can keep going as I'm getting older.
Yeah.
And then I get injured.
And that means what? I'm getting injured, I'm getting older, and that means what?
Just not going to be able to do all the things I want to do. Travel and keep my mobility.
Okay, this is why this is like so painful for you. You're taking one knee injury experience in kickboxing and turning it into I'm losing my mobility and I won't be able to travel. And look, I think it's very normal for our brains to do that. Okay, but it's important for you to know that I need to reassure myself. This is just a knee injury. Knee injuries are common, especially when you kickbox. These things are, like there are more injuries. This is the way I think about it, whether it's helpful or not. There are just more injuries that are experienced as we get older. And because of that, I need to make sure that I continue to do these things. That maybe I need more warm up now. Maybe I need to add in stretching. Maybe I need to make sure that I'm, getting plenty of water. Like there's all kinds of things. Like I know just for me personally, as an active person, and I am right now doing some aggressive workouts, and I have had aches and pains that I didn't experience in my 30s and 40s, especially my early 40s. I could just go and raw dog a workout and just be fine. Now, if I go and I start too fast without a proper warm up, I'm limping for 2 days because my right hip hates my guts. And it signals to me, you got to be stretching now. These are things that are really important at our age. And so, what I try to do is not make sore hips and the other variety of sorenesses that I get and stuff mean catastrophic things, I try to take them to mean like, what is this signaling that I may need to change as I'm getting older? There are just different approaches. You and I are about the same age, I guess. I'm
Yeah,
turning
well,
52 this year.
I'm 55, so.
Okay, so we're like the same age. And, you know, very often we try to go back to working out the way we did 20, 30 years ago. Intensity levels are the same flavors of things. And it's not to say we can't do those things. We just have to do them a little bit smarter, a little bit different now. I'm not trying to give you workout advice. What I'm trying to do, though, is to just
It's fine.
give you, well, what I'm really
I'll
trying to do,
take it.
well, I'm really trying to give you a way of thinking that as we do get older, we don't want to be dumb and
No.
just train like we did 20 years ago. We want to be really smart and we want to know that injuries can tell us important things. They're not always just telling us you're getting old, you'll be immobile and never be able to travel the way you want. So, like, if we
Yeah.
were just going to look at your knee injury with more compassion and what it really could be signaling.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe I could use some more strength training on the side. Like, you know, part of doing the kickboxing was partly for strength and like cardio workout, which it gave me, but you know, I'm going only twice a week and I just started, so or started back. So, you know, maybe I could find a way to fit in some more strength training at home on the other
I
days.
think that's really smart. Now, let me just give you Corinne's lifting corner for a moment. You're all invited. Kickboxing is great. I used to box all the time. My husband at one point bought me, shit you not, I trained with a real boxer. He boxed George Foreman for 6 months a few years ago. Dude's nose was like right here, not even in the middle of his face. He was the real deal. But it wasn't strength training. Okay. I think at our age that cardio, like kickboxing and things like that, they're good for us, but they're strengthening one muscle, and that's really the heart. And we as women, you're going to need, like, I would probably, like, especially if your knee like got twisted up, probably just say, like, you know, one day a week just to start. I should probably do a full body strength workout where it's actually putting, you know, strength training for all of you is where you are putting a lot of resistance behind it. That's why, like, you can start with body weight, but eventually we want to overload our body. We want there to be more weight than just our body. And so you want to be doing some weights and stuff because that will help the muscles, when they get strengthened, they're like the bubble wrap to the bones and tendons. When you don't strengthen the muscle, it's just like, it'd be like if I had a very precious set of no BS dishes that were passed down for generations and I wanted you to have them, I can either ship them with bubble wrap or I can throw them in an Amazon box and hope for the best. Which one do we want to do? We want to wrap ourselves, especially if we want to travel when we get older, especially if we do want to be mobile. We want to be doing our weights now. And all of my 70-year-old ladies that are listening to me, it is not too late. I got my mama started doing her little routines too. We all need it. Your muscles will respond no matter how old you get. So I think just for you to be thinking about, I don't want to take my knee injury so personally. This doesn't mean that I'm not going to be able to travel when I get older. This is really a signal of like, yeah, I should probably do that strength training I've been saying I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to start with one day a week. That's going to help me with my kickboxing, which I actually love.
Yeah, my goal is actually to get back to the jujitsu that I was doing. So I was really getting back into the kickboxing just to kind of get going better, you know, like,
Well,
yeah.
maybe then we just need the strength training as one more layer of things to get us
Yeah.
back to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But just know that
Yes.
like you're not ashamed. Like your brain tried to tell you all kinds of things
Yeah.
when what it really was afraid that this meant something catastrophic about you getting older. And our brains love to do that. It likes to like, woo, let's throw some shame out there. Woo, let's throw this out there, because what it doesn't want to do is cry about getting older. It doesn't
Yeah,
want
and
to
it's
face
not,
its fears. No.
helpful at all. Not helpful. No.
But it's not helpful, but it's also, it needs to be seen and it needs to be talked to. Like it needs nurturing. You need to console it. You need to tell it, this is not as bad as we think it is. In fact, here are things I think I can do. Because if my real fear is long-term mobility and stuff, then I want to plan right now. Like, what are all the components of long-term mobility and stuff?
Yeah.
Not just worry that I'm going downhill every single time I try to exercise.
Yes, that helps.
Okay.
Thank you.
2 weeks. Do
2 weeks,
some upper body
yes.
strength training. You can do
Yes,
that
that's
while
what
you're
I was
eating.
thinking for sure. Or my
That's
belt or
right.
my stomach exercises too. Yeah, core.
Yeah, core,
Yeah.
but lift weights. Promise me you're going to lift
Okay.
weights.
I'm promising you. I'm promising
Okay.
you.
All
I can at
right.
least start with what I have. So there's no
Exactly.
excuse, you know.
No
Because that was the
excuses.
other end of it.
Right.
Oh, I want to lift weights, so I have to go to the gym. I have to do this. And I'm like, no, I don't
No.
have to.
No, you don't. You just say like,
Anyways.
we're gonna max out here. That's what, you know,
Yeah.
when I first started, well, the first thing I did was I took body pump, but then when I really wanted to lift, I started buying home weights. And I wish I still had a picture of it. Some of the old PNP people probably remember. I had a little home gym, and I had like my very first one. I had a step box that was my bench, a Reebok step box. I hated getting rid of that. It was the best step box I ever owned too, and I got rid of it in one of my moves, and I should have never done it. And I had dumbbells. I had fives, eights, tens, and twelves. I still have the eights, the tens, and the twelves. I don't know what happened to my fives. They got lost in a move, but I pounded them things out in that little home gym until I had maxed myself out, and then I went to the gym to get heavier weights.
Yeah.
So you can do a
One
lot of
step at a
good
time.
at your house. Yes, you can. All
I
right.
just have to keep telling myself.
That's right. That's right.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Y'all, I'm gonna have to try and dig. There has got to be some archives somewhere. I do remember, I don't know if y'all won't remember this. I don't know who's here. Oh yeah, Jean Banning's here, shops a lot. I think Tiffany, you're coming up. I think we still have one of the videos. I've got purple hair. I had Chris mic me, and I was doing some crazy workout, and I filmed it, and the members used to do. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, I couldn't do that workout now if I had to. I don't work out like that anymore. I work out real heavy, but all that jumping around and getting busy on that step box and stuff, I would kick my own ass if I had to do that again. Look at your cat. Oh my God.
Oh, I know. Well, you know what? I'm actually house sitting. So let me, sorry, I don't want to get distracted. It's an honor to meet you. I am
Hey,
Tiffany.
Tiffany.
So
What's your question?
I had started in OBS last summer. I had had a lot of momentum in my health journey. I'd lost 40 pounds. And then these last, from the moment I started till now, I had really started working on just my mindset, and I just feel very stuck because I keep, so I have a lot of huge transitions. Let me write my,
focus on my notes. I have a lot of huge transitions. I'm getting married in May, and then I'm also changing careers right now. So I'm trying to find myself, my routines, and I'm just struggling to get back into it. I just feel like a lot of things are pushing for my attention, and I feel like my health is my top priority, but it seems to be falling lower and lower on my to-do list because of all the transitions right now. So, I'm just hoping for a little bit more guidance on how to follow through with myself and just get to where I want to be physically. Yeah, so.
Cat, I swear,
His
when you
name
were
is
talking about,
Sebastian.
he looked right in that camera so serious and was like, help her.
I know,
I
he's like, help her out for
know.
her cheetah head print. Mind you, it's morning here in California and I'm so I'm
You're
just
good.
waking up. So sorry
So let
about
me
that.
ask you this. Have you decided what your minimum baseline during your transitions are?
So my baseline is 1 gallon of water a day and walking for 15 minutes. That's like something that, okay, well, we got to taper it down because I've been struggling to walk for 15 minutes and struggling to drink my gallon of water. So I guess I need to find a new baseline, sounds
Or you
like.
need to meet that baseline and figure out why you're not doing that. What is all like getting married and getting a new job? What does that have to do? How is that taking up so much of your time that you can't drink water and get 15
Right.
walk in?
Right. I think I'm not planning my days out. I think I struggle with mental health challenges. And so, what I'll do is what I can do or what I feel like doing, but it takes a lot of mental capacity to do those things. So I think I'm just not planning and executing properly.
Okay, so planning helps you. Okay. Why do you need to want to walk and drink your water?
For me, the movement, I value movement and water. Like that was a game changer when I started drinking 1 gallon over the summer. I really saw it curbed my cravings, and I tend to struggle with binge eating at night. So walking was kind of like how I would de-escalate my afternoons and kind of just decompress so that I wasn't reaching for the food. But
Why
now
do
I'm.
you, but I don't think you're answering the question. You're telling me why all that's important to you, which is great. These are amazing reasons, and I think you just need to
Okay.
remind yourself of this more. But why do you need to want to do it?
Okay. I guess I don't need to want to do anything because I'm never gonna want to do it. Right? I mean, right? Is that
You got to tell me what goes through your head when I ask that question. There's
What
no right
goes
answer. Okay.
right. For myself, I have expectations of myself. So I'm thinking do I need to change my expectations or do I need to be okay with where I'm at? I'm not sure how to move forward.
But let me ask it one more time. I want you
Okay.
to really listen to this question.
Okay.
Because you started
I'm turning
off
up the volume
trying
too, so I can.
to, wait, that's okay. You started off trying to answer it, and then you're like getting off into these other things. So don't try to give me what you think is the right answer. Give me what you, just like naturally comes to you, even if it doesn't feel like the answer. Sometimes it's just a lot easier to get coached when, you're not trying to figure out, well, this is what feels true to me, or this is what I think you want to hear, or anything. All I want to do is figure out, like, how can we get your natural thoughts to just kind of spill
Just like
unfiltered,
low,
because somewhere in there, something's like you're going to say something, and you're like, oh, that's not quite it, and then you'll say something, and you'll be like. Like our last person, she was telling me about how embarrassed she was and all these other things. And then I asked one little question. Next thing you know, tears are flowing. So now we got to the right thing, you know? All right. So you said that your minimum baseline is 15 minutes of walking and 1 gallon of water. And you gave me beautiful reasons for why you do all that, which all makes logical sense. But in the moment when it's time to do it, logic for most of us, depending on what's going on, is going to get thrown out the window. So we can't always rely on our logic. And what we do is we try to rely on wanting to do it, except wanting to do something often comes from logic, not
It's like a
from
double-edged sword.
like it doesn't come from like some deep inner wisdom that just like, oh, I'm just Mount Vesuvius and I'm erupting all the time for you. So think about the question, why do I feel like I need to want to do my walks and I need to want to drink my water in order to do it?
I think because I feel like I tie my value into those things. Like I feel like I'm on track. I feel on track when I do those things, and I feel like wanting it makes me feel like I'm healing myself. Like I'm doing what's right for myself. I'm on track, and
So if you
that's
don't want to do it, what does it mean to you?
if I don't want to do it, it means that I'm not wanting to be on track, and I'm wanting to be free and wanting to like do my own thing and just like do what feels right in the moment. Like I just want to go through my day without all the planning. So I guess I want to plan, but I don't want to plan.
Yeah, and this is very common for all of you. It's like two things can be true at one time. The logical part of us wants to plan because the logical part of us knows all the glorious benefits that come with planning and stuff. Now, the other part of us, the more habit brain of us, it doesn't want all of that because it's like, hey, you're gonna feel like shit. I know feeling like shit's coming. And then you're going to try to make me do something good for me. And I don't want to do that. I want to be free like a dove, just the air, you know? Except the problem with freedom is that we're more free when we plan and do the things that we know make us feel better. We're actually very trapped when we try to go through life by our feelings only. If you think about it, for most of you, especially because you said I have mental health things going on, and you're in the midst of transition, which is also one of the big whammies, like
It's just a mess.
changing jobs and getting married and things like that. That's like a lot for the brain to absorb. So your mood is usually going to be stressed. Your mood is usually going to be confused. Your mood, a lot of time, is going to be like every feeling that doesn't make good choices.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we have to kind of think about like what I want to do in the moment is always going to feel right if I believe that I should be carefree and only doing what I feel like. But I can't rely on my mood to make my choices because right now my mood is not set up for good choices. It's set up for ease, it's set up for convenience, it's set up for old habits, it's set up for comfort, it's set up for mood, for emotional stabilization. That's not going to make me a lot of good choices. In fact, that's going to take away all the freedom I want to feel. So I think one of the things we have to do is we have to figure out, knowing everything that you're going through right now, and knowing that you're not going to want to walk 15 minutes and you're not going to want to drink your water, how do we set up systems? And how do we talk to ourselves in the moments we don't want to so that we can follow through?
Those are great questions. I know that you had mentioned in previous videos, like the four basics, and those are kind of like the foundation before we even start like eating enough. And I feel like I've been working on the four basics for like several months. Like I feel like I like my sleep, all the things. So but just knowing that I need to focus on the systems rather than the feeling, that I think that's key to
Yeah, I think
focus
systems for you could help you actually have feel like you have more stable emotions at times.
I agree.
You know, like you said, like water makes a big difference for you, and walking 15 minutes is like really lowers your stress levels down. It's you'll need to constantly be reminding yourself of this, because what I find is when we're not doing these things, we spend like people say, I just don't want to think about stuff. I don't want to have to think that hard. I'm like, you're already spending all your time thinking I'm
Right,
not
right.
doing anything. I should be like, we're just going to trade all of this thinking you're already doing that is terrible and like drags you down, and you're like obsessing over, oh my God, I haven't lost weight and I'm not doing this,
Exactly,
doing that.
exactly.
I'm going to just trade it for intentional thinking. So it's not like
Absolutely.
it takes more time, but they both have an energetic cost. We just
Right.
always have to remember that. It's like I can be drained because I'm sitting here thinking all this horseshit and not doing good things for myself. Or for a while, I can be drained because I'm thinking in such a way that isn't inviting me to take care of myself. And then eventually, that will taking care of myself becomes the habit. I won't have to think about that anymore. And I won't be near as drained on this side because there is, you know, each one has byproducts. If I'm just letting my brain act the donk, then the byproduct of that is I don't get enough water in and I don't get my walks in. And so my body is now suffering. Over here, I may be emotionally drained from thinking, but my body's not emotionally drained because I'm actually giving it what it needs.
I agree. I think that those are that's exactly what the problem is. So for you, or not for you, but for when you're coaching someone who's in a in my like situation, like a system, what I start, like you mentioned, my baseline. So that it doesn't, it's not about moving the baseline. It's about just setting up a system so that I can meet that baseline, right?
Yeah, I'm going to tell all of you, the only baseline that you will ever set that you will consistently do is a baseline of zero. Like, minimum baseline, the whole idea of it is, I'm going to say I'm going to do this is my minimum. And I'm setting it low enough to where when I argue not to do it, I can also argue to do it also, to also do it. Because usually what happens is like people set their, like, this is what I'm going to do. They set the bar so high that it's really hard in the moment to even convince themselves to do it. That's what happens in traditional diets. It's like, you know, we start off with a lot of motivation. So, like, let's say we're all going to cut carbs, like, and no BS for, you know, the next 6 months, we're all cutting our carbs. Well, that first month, a lot of you will do it. A lot of you will be like, Brins changed your philosophy. And we're like, we're all on the bandwagon. And, you know, we're all like sitting around with no bread. Well, by month two, we can't convince ourselves anymore. Now, if I said for the next 6 months and no BS, we are all going to eat one less slice of bread a week. I can probably get y'all to do that. Now, I'm not saying we're doing, like, please don't say Corinne's going low carb. This is just a bullshit example I'm throwing out. But like, that's just like an example of like, if I just said our minimum baseline is to eat one less carb a week for the next 6 months, 90% of you could do that. And 100% of you would bitch and moan when it comes to the one moment you have to eat one less carb. You would be like, I don't know why. I don't even understand why she's doing this. For years, she was over here, and now we're all
Why
doing
am I
this.
doing
You know,
this?
exactly. But it would be easy to say, but I trust your system. I'm gonna do it anyway. Everybody else is doing it. Like, we would be able to talk to ourselves. That's the purpose of the minimum baseline, is to give you a threshold that allows you to say, I have really thought about what's important. I've really thought about, on my worst day, I could do this. And that's what the minimum baseline is. The minimum baseline is, on my worst day, on the day I really don't feel like doing it, I would do this.
Still do it, which is my water and my 15 minutes. Okay.
So
Okay.
that's what I want you to do. And then for all of you, I think a lot of times y'all are very quick to want to change your goal or your baselines or what you're going to do when it's not working. Instead of, I would love for you to explore more about why is it not working? What goes on for me? What is happening for me to not want to do something that when I'm using my logical brain, I say I really want? And we fix that instead of changing, just like our first caller. She wanted to figure out, all right, now that I've done dry January, how do I keep drinking so that I don't feel so miserable on Saturday nights? So I don't think about how old and boring I'm getting. And it's like, well, she wanted to change the wine. And I'm like, how about we change the story of being old and fucking boring on a Saturday night? Like, that's our
Yeah,
work.
right.
So now, y'all, there are times when we do need to like ratchet down or we do change some stuff, but we don't do it at the sacrifice of figuring out why something's hard for us. Because behind the why it's hard for me is the answers to the better life. And right now, your story is that water and walking is hard for you because you're going through transitions. And you really want to pull that apart to say, like, is getting married and change, I think you said you're changing jobs. Is it so time consuming that I can't wag a gallon of water around with me and take a 5-minute walk? Because our brain, it just is looking for a reason, Tiffany, to explain why you're not doing these two things that you have said. For my mental health, these things make a big difference. So your brain is naturally like, oh my God, we're not doing it. So I need to know a reason why. I know transitions. You're just going through a lot. And that'll make you feel better and it will feel true and it will make sense. But it's one straw that your brain grasped at and said, okay, let's settle on this. Instead of, is that really it? Like, is it because I just don't sit down and make a plan to get it done? Is it because I haven't told enough people that I'm going to be walking every day at such and such time? I'll text you when I'm done. Is it because, like, there's a thousand reasons. And we just always want to make sure that we have figured out a good reason, not just the first reason that makes sense. Because I'm going to tell all of you, your excuses and your justifications will always feel good and they will always make sense. But that doesn't mean they're the only explanation. And usually, if it feels a little too good and a little too true to get you to do things that you swear to God on a stack of Bibles that are good for you, that doesn't make them the only truth. It makes them an impedance.
Thank you so much. That was so helpful
You're welcome.
in this chapter.
The one last thing I want to tell you that I think will be helpful, this is for everybody.
Okay.
For your transitions, I want you to just ask yourself a simple question and journal on its own. While I'm getting married and while I'm changing jobs, how do I want to show up for myself? How do I want to show up for myself when it feels overwhelming? How do I want to show up for myself when I feel too busy to take care of myself? How do I, like, think about all the versions of you going through transitions and say, like, and in that moment, here's what I need to most hear from me. Here's what, if I was talking to myself with love and understanding and a willingness to challenge myself, here's what I most need to hear, and here's what I most need, and this is how I want to show up for me. Decide how you're going to go through the transitions instead of going through them and letting them just happen to you. Okay.
A lot of this time has been like us making decisions and versus it being like, oh, what do we do? It's like make a decision on what to do, execute, like period. Like that's been, yeah, that's so helpful. Thank you.
All right. Well, congratulations on getting married.
Thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye, Disney.
Bye-bye.
And what time we got? What time we start? 12? Okay. Sorry, y'all. Beth. Another Beth. Beth, I've got you now. Hey, Beth. The other Beth. Wait a minute. I think you're muted. Hang on. Yeah, you're muted. Hang on one second.
There we go.
There you go. All right. How can I help you today?
Well, I was as I was sitting here, I was like, okay, here are my January positives, here are my January struggles. First of all, thank you, because I really need this. Last year I spent way too was on way too many trips. And in addition to trips that were already planned, it was a birthday, a funeral. To, I mean, it was like weddings, 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 lots of family stuff, and then some unexpected things. And it was really hard to grab my momentum. So I was looking forward to, I'm done. People are like, you coming home for Thanksgiving? No way. I'll see you at Christmas. And now I'm home. And I live in Minneapolis, and I'm like, okay, where do I start? I just feel like I'm struggling. I've been with this program for so long and have not lost any weight. And I know that's not an uncommon theme. And somebody said, maybe it was MJ, said, just do one thing, stop eating enough. So I was really paying attention to that. And I noticed I'm like, okay, I pause, I do all the things. And sometimes I just flat out choose to continue.
Okay,
And
that's what we work on next. Why are
well,
you flat out choosing to ignore it?
so I don't know if I've put other things before it that are easier. So I have gotten back to the why. I used to work out all the time, and then the pandemic, and I was teaching 14 hours a day on a computer, and that ruined my body, sitting for 14 hours a day and then 10 hours every weekend. That
Okay, but I asked you, why are you flat out if the most recent thing you've done is try to stop it enough and you realized I just flat out ignored it at times, why are you telling me about the COVID 6 years ago instead of why right now you're not stopping it enough?
I think because I'm back to the, I have some successes. I'm back to the why and moving again
Okay,
and
that's great.
rebuilding it back.
Okay.
I am,
Why are we not stopping at enough? I love
well,
how you want to tell me anything but the one thing you could work on that will get you to lose weight.
I don't know the answer to that question.
What's your most recent meal you didn't stop at enough?
Last night, I went to dinner with a friend.
Okay.
I live, a mile away from where Alex Pretty was murdered.
Okay.
I live a mile and a half away from where Renee Good was murdered. I live a mile
Okay.
away from where George Floyd was murdered. I live a mile from where the Annunciation shootings happened. It's like this. And we were planning on going to a restaurant to support them because they've been really helping the people in my community.
So why did you not want to stop it enough?
I did at the dinner. I mean, I probably went a little bit over, but I boxed up half of it and brought it home. And then instead of putting it in the refrigerator, I had a few more bites. And I'm like, what the hell?
So, what do you think that was about?
I think. Honestly, I think right I know it's okay. I'm good at doing my meditation. I've been very, very committed to being peaceful and making sure that I stay above the grid. and making sure that I'm taking care of myself in that way. And it wasn't until last Saturday that we had a good day Friday. I had connected a New York Times reporter to an animal rescue that's taking in the animals that are left behind, and other good things happen. I'm like, it's a shit situation, but good things happen. And then I wake up and to that news, and I couldn't function. And I just fuck it ate for 2 days, and fuck it ate hard.
So,
When
what are you trying not to feel? Because this is, I think this is what's happening.
it's so overwhelming. It's everything that I carry, but this, I live in a war zone right now, and it's so much that I, as much as I work on staying above the fray, doing the right things, it's like I just, if I feel as much as I'm feeling, I'm so scared for our country. I'm so scared for the level of polarity. I'm so scared for the level of hatred and anger.
Let me stop you here because I think what I want to do is slow you down just a second, because one of the things that is very important is when you feel this level of fear and threat, is it is very important that you create safety for yourself. Because like in this moment, you are safe. But your brain doesn't feel that way. Like last night when you came home and the food is sitting there, all of this that's going on underneath the surface is like our brains literally treat like you're physically safe inside the four walls of your home. You came, you went to a restaurant, you were safe there. You made your way back home, you got back into your home. You are actually safe, but your body does feels anything but. And when we don't do enough nervous system work on that, that's why we end up eating. All right. So the way our bodies work is if it has like you're doing things, but in your body, there's a lot of trapped fear energy. Our brain and body are very different. And a lot of times what we try to do is we try to outthink things. We try to meditate and we try to do thinking things. But then our body is just holding on to all this energy. And it feels like ass. It's like a low-level hum all the time. Like a lot of times I go to bed at night, I have, you know, my own stressors, my own things that I see every single day that weigh on me immensely. And a lot of times at night, I have to sit in bed and I do a lot of really deep breathing. Because I realize, like, I haven't even gotten enough oxygen during the day. And I feel like sometimes I'm choking. Like, I have this sensation that, like, I'm being held underwater and I'm just, somebody's letting me up just long enough to go, and then they shove me back down. And I feel like a lot of times during the day, I do that all day unconsciously. And then at night, when I'm trying to take deep breaths, it's like there's a vice on me. That is trapped energy in the body. So I'm just kind of like you've had several things where it sounds like that's what you're doing. It's like when I was doing 14-hour days back in the COVID, you probably had a lot of trapped energy. So then you probably ate at night. You have all this stuff going on in your city and in the world. And you're making your way through, but there's a lot of trapped energy, like all these thoughts you have, all this sadness you have, all this fear you have. Just because you busy yourself or go do things or meditate for, you know, in like 30 minutes or whatever, doesn't mean the body got what it needed. So
How do I do that?
this is actually the simplest exercise of all the things that we teach. I think this is the super simplest one. Right before you want to eat, I think your whole problem is you don't feel safe right now. That's your biggest problem in the room. I don't think you need to think about how to feel safe. I think you need to tell yourself you're safe. This is literally sitting with feet on the floor, your ass in a chair. You need to feel like grounded. For some people, they might even put a weighted blanket on themselves to feel the compression of just weight. Then you put your hand over your heart or wherever you want to put your hands, it doesn't matter. And you repeat as many times as you need until you feel a physical release in your body. I am safe. This chair is holding me up. This ground is supporting me. These walls are keeping everything out. They do a lot of that work with people who are actually in true war zones. Like when people have spent time in, like let's say that you were a prisoner of war and you spent 2 years, abused and whatnot. They do a lot of work like this on those people because they're not in the war zone anymore, but they come home and everything feels like a threat. They re-experience their trauma over and over again. And they have to reconnect the body to true safety. Because there is a lot of shit going on in the world. A lot. If we go outside the United States, there is even more travesty going on. And in this day and age, we hear about all of it. 100 years ago, we didn't hear about this shit. You had to wait, a month for the newspaper to report on something because somebody had to sail across a boat to tell you about it. Nowadays, our phone alerts us to anything and everything. We are taking in way too much of the world's problems right now. And our bodies were never designed to handle this much stuff. That's why we have to have new techniques like grounding ourselves
And
and reminding ourselves. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I am not somebody who has the news on almost ever, but you can't get around it. I mean, last night when I went to dinner, it was with one of my best friends who's married to somebody from another country who has a work permit, is going through the legal system, everything, but they are grabbing everybody and everybody. And whatever people are hearing out there, it's 10 times worse than what you're hearing. And so
But this is what I'm saying.
they're.
It doesn't matter whether you watch the news or not, your body is experiencing your inputs.
Well, in my, I mean, I might be safe, but my community members, my best friends are talking about, I even had a family member who was like, I can't live here. So I am losing.
Right. But this is the whole thing. Like, I understand, but you are trying to argue with me to feel really bad and unsafe. And what I'm trying to do is show you we've got to establish some semblance of safety for you. We're not trying to save the world right now. We're just trying to make Beth be able to bring home leftovers and not have to eat them because she's got so much worry going through her brain, she can't not eat. I'm trying to give you a new way for your body to get a release. Because eating is not truly doing, it's not going to create safety. The only thing that ever creates safety is you reassuring yourself that you are safe. We have to start with you. You can't control what goes on outside of you. There's one person in this whole situation we've got control over.
No, I
It's
believe it.
just you.
And I protect it. When people start talking stuff, I'm like, nope. Why aren't you mad? I'm like, because I'm not going to get mad. I am not going to. I believe that peace and love is, I'm more about peace and love than spewing taunting things at people that are doing hateful things. That's just, I don't know how I was raised or what I was born into, but and I do breathing. I do grounding. I do all of these things. And sometimes it feels like I'm just like, I know that this is killing me, that eating this much and eating, I eat a lot of really good food, but then I eat a lot of not so good food. It's like, oh, well, are you trying to off yourself?
No, you're not. Like, this is like, I just want you to see you are so determined to only tell me the worst for you. And we just talked about it. You're not trying to off yourself. You're trying to feel safe. That is all you're trying to do. You are not feeling safe So much so that you're just like, I don't like this. And here's all the reasons. And I'm just going to, like, your brain is on high alert right now. It is going to find every problem in the world. It is going to, like, whether you look for it or not, your brain right now's job is to look for it. So it will hear every conversation. It will notice little things. It's going to just, you have to realize that when you are in a space where you don't feel safe, your brain's job is to show you everything possible that makes you unsafe. It's even saying, like, it's not enough that we got problems now. Do you remember in 2020 what was going on? It tried to bring in when you were working 14-hour days as if that's a problem today. It's like that problem's been handled. That problem's already been taken care of. But notice how your brain wants to go to, and then this happened, and then this happened. It's got to prove that you're unsafe until we do enough safety work to where it can stop looking for all of it and start calming down. Reasoning out what you need to, what you really need to be concerned with, and what you need to say, like, you know what? Right now, that's not the biggest problem I have in my room. Like, I can have compassion for things, but that does not mean that I destroy my safety over it. Like,
So,
nobody needs to suffer to change the world. So, I think it's just a lot of you, just more grounding work. Like, this is all about. You do not feel safe right now. And I don't blame you. You are in Minneapolis. Just like nobody in Nashville has felt safe the last week. It literally looks like a war zone here. If you look at some of the videos in some of the neighborhoods, it literally looks like some like bombs went off because I don't know if y'all know, but trees actually can't explode. We
I
have a lot of maple trees down here. And they were just blowing up everywhere because there's something to do with when it gets this cold. There's something like the maple inside freezes and then it just literally the tree explodes and shit goes everywhere. I mean, it just looks crazy down here. We still have people without power and it's 5 degrees today. We've
Yeah.
had lots of deaths. People froze to death in their own home. Now, whenever things are going on like that, as humans, we're supposed to feel like ass. Okay? What we have to decide is when I feel like the ass, how do I want to be there for myself? Because I can be there for myself by ruminating, thinking about all of it. I can also be there for myself by grounding myself. Even if it takes me 30 times a day of sitting for 5 minutes and saying, okay, I notice I'm thinking about food. I notice I'm feeling anxious. I notice the tears are right behind my eyes. I notice that somebody just told me something. I probably should go ground myself right now. I probably need to just remind myself, Beth, you are safe. It's true, others are not, but you are physically safe because the body is really weird. It's like it wants to protect itself more than anybody else. That's not being selfish. That's just the body's natural kick-in mechanism is to just protect itself. And right now, food is what you're using to protect yourself with. So it's not you trying to kill yourself. It like this is not a logical thing. Of course, you know some of the stuff you eat is probably terrible for your health and at the volume of which you eat it in. Of course, logically, you know that. When you don't feel safe, the brain has two major parts. One is the logical side, and one is the habit side. The habit side has no feelings, it has no logic. Its only job is to quickly put out fires. It doesn't care that your binge could do anything harmful to you. It just knows you don't feel safe right now, and it's grasping at straws to feel safe. It's grasping at straws to ground you. Eating is very grounding. That is why, like, when little babies, when babies cry the first year, what do? Feed them. And that calms down. Like, my son nursed. He was autistic. We didn't know. I didn't know why he could never be soothed. He nursed around the clock that first year because every single time he got the least bit upset, I had to nurse him or we couldn't calm him down. It was the only thing that soothed my child. And I was a full-time Jersey cow. Like, full-time. That's why my right tit hung at my right knee. He loved old righty more than anything.
So do the safety work first.
First.
And then not, I mean, for now, like just practice doing that and then start working at stopping at enough.
Yeah, stop. You've already done the most important work on stopping at enough, which is figuring out that you're not stopping at enough at times. And we uncovered it's because you don't feel safe.
Okay.
So you're going to continue to pay attention to enough, but we're going to now layer in what you haven't been doing, which is right now you've been going past enough to feel safe. Now we're going to ground ourselves to create safety so that stopping at enough is going to get easier for you. And you're doing some of the other work. Like you really know why you don't feel safe right now. I don't know if you already are protecting yourself from, it sounds like news and media and not over consuming and stuff. So you're keeping out a lot of that. It sounds like you also have set really good boundaries for yourself. Like, I don't get, like when people say, aren't like, why are you not angry or doing things? It's like, hey, I handle this the way I handle it. And that's a boundary. Not everybody's owed that.
I am good at setting boundaries.
Yeah. And so reminding yourself you're actively doing, like once you ground yourself, reminding yourself what you're doing to create more safety for yourself, like these things.
Well,
And
I
then you can go ahead.
guilt involved too. I'm too, I can't walk, I can't stand, so going to protest, I can't do it. But I'm working with a friend, and we're gathering money to give to businesses that are local small businesses that are suffering. So we're doing what we can, but
And that's what you need to
it
tell the
does.
vo guilt voice, because guilt's not necessary here. You can't walk and stand. That would be like me saying, I feel guilty because I'm not a brunette. I mean, I was born a blonde, but I just feel really guilty because I'm not a brunette. Would you ever tell me, like, yeah, you should be really ashamed of that? You should be feel guilty. If you can't walk and stand, why do you feel guilty that you're not at a protest?
Other things I could be doing, and I just,
You are doing them, but you're not telling yourself that.
well, I'm doing some of them. I want to be doing more, but I really did the commitment of this is the I am putting myself first, period, end of story. So I am like, nope, I'm going to the Y, and I have a really good in rehab and going through a shit ton of health issues and not getting enough visitors, and I'm like, okay, I will visit her once a week. I can't be the one that visits her every day, and I'll put out feelers to other people and say, listen, you need to get in and visit with her because I am going to put myself first. Boom. I have to because I'm the teacher and the caretaker and the this and that and everything else. Even though I'm retired now, those habits die hard. And it's like, it's time for you to put yourself in the equation. And it not only in the equation, it's time to put yourself at the top of the list.
Okay, let me ask you this. When you say I'm putting myself first, how does that make you feel?
Good. But in this moment, with what's going on, it's like, oh, it feels like there's so many things that need to be first.
Okay, this is why I want you to be very cautious about saying I'm putting myself first because it sounds lovely unless it creates guilt. It's not a great way to think about it.
Okay.
If it creates guilt. So rather than I'm putting myself first, you might want to try on the thought of I'm doing these things for me so I can do more over here. I can't do these things unless I have taken care of myself. Then it sounds sensical. Like now it sounds like it makes sense. But a lot of times, what we do as women especially caretakers and teachers and y'all, we have a terrible relationship with putting ourselves at the top of the list and with putting ourselves first. To us, there's a parenthesis around it, and you shouldn't. That's selfish.
Right.
You're hurting someone when none of that's true. Putting yourself, like, very often when I say, like, all right, if you go to the why, who's suffering? Who actually, right now, when you're at the why, taking care of yourself, who is paying the price for you? Most people will say, well, really, no one. I just think it's bad. And that's the work we have to do, is to remind ourselves, like, taking care of yourself is not a bad thing. It is a socialized thing for women. It is a trained way of thinking for women. That's what it is. It's not selfish. Now, what I always know is that people who, like, especially teachers, doctors, nurses, people who went into caretaking type careers, good luck on being selfish. Like, I wish all of you would try really hard on your most selfish day. You're probably doing a tenth of what I would do for me. Because I don't think taking care of me is selfish at all. I have literally spent years and years and years rectifying how what I do that's different than other mothers is great in my own unique way. How I take care of myself doesn't take away from my family at all. Nobody really misses me when I go to the gym. I wish they would. No one gives a fuck, literally. If I go to the gym, I always text Chris, well, I'm at the gym, as if he's going to one day say, I wish you were here so I could hang out with you. Not one time. He's always like, thumbs up. That's the best I get. So I just want you to practice creating more safety for yourself. You've done the work. You've said, I have watched me struggle with stopping it enough. I thought about it. Here's what it has revealed to me. It has revealed to me that I'm carrying a lot of what's going on in my environment very deeply and very heavy. So much so, I don't even feel safe. Because you said I live in a war zone. You were equating your home, your why, your life to a war zone right now. Is there shit going on outside the walls? Absolutely. But in
Yeah.
this space, you are safe. When you're at the why, you are safe. When you go out to dinner, like last night, you proved you were safe. You're proving that you're doing things that you can uniquely do. You can support small businesses. You can talk to your friends. You're doing lots of things. If you want to do more, we do it because we want to do more. We don't do it from guilt and obligation. The best we ever do in our life is when we give freely. We give from love. We give from genuineness. We don't give to impress. We don't give because it looks good. We don't give because it's performative. We don't give because we feel guilty. We don't give because of old, outdated rules that women have had to live under for far too fucking long. If some of us don't start giving for the right reasons, how are generations ahead of us ever going to give for the right reasons? We don't need another generation of women who are doing performative shit or stuff because they feel like they're being selfish, putting themselves last because everybody tells them that they should. That's crap. And you're breaking all of that. We just need you to see it. I see it. Okay.
Yeah, no, I had to plug in because I was my phone was dying.
You're good.
All right, I will start working on safety.
Safety is, I'm telling you, it's going to help.
I mean,
And
I feel
continue to watch you enough and
well, I
let it.
feel fairly certain because the enough was coming up before all this the shit show started.
So I feel certain that there's another layer underneath there that I'm going to have
Well,
to
if
work
you're
on, but
having like, here's the common thread. If you've been eating past enough for a long time, there's always been a deeper reason. Right now, it's safety. And maybe last year it was safety from all the travel. Last year it was like, well, the reason why I'm not stopping enough is because I'm traveling all the time. As if that makes us stop it enough. No, when we do not feel comfortable in a room seeing people we ain't seen in a long time or whatever may be going on there, guess what we do? We eat too much. If we don't feel safe around our favorite foods, guess what? We ain't got enough safety around them. We think certain foods make us eat. Guess what we tell ourselves? They're dangerous. They make me. Well, guess what? Now we just create a bunch of fear. We're not creating safety. Like, I'm safe around the Cheetos. They don't have legs. They don't actually run into my mouth. I may want them for a reason. It's my job to find that out. But I'm actually safe right now. This food is not harmful. This food is not dangerous. I think you just haven't been identifying why you're not stopping it enough. I think you've just been identifying that you aren't stopping it enough.
Oh, for sure. For sh that's absolutely for
Yeah. And
sure.
now we're just taking it to the next stage, which is now we find out the reasons why so that we can apply the right solutions. And then as you tick one off right after another, I was just talking about this in the Facebook group. Let's say you have like 10 reasons why you don't stop it enough. You've been like examining, you figured out all your reasons why. You only need to work on one at a time. You get really good at one of the reasons why. And
Okay.
then when you knock that one out, the next one gets a little bit easier. You knock that one out, the next one gets a lot easier. Next thing you know, you don't even have to work your way down the list. The basic skill of taking care of your emotional need that stopping it enough was doing gets formed, and then you just naturally start taking care of your needs because that's the habit we don't have, taking care of our emotional needs. And we train it one at a time. It does not take long. And I'm going to tell you, when you start, if you ever learn the skill of taking care of your emotional needs in a real, genuine way, it feels so good and produces so much dopamine. But now you want to find all the areas you're not doing it in. You actually start craving all the things that you can fix in your life because you now start feeling powerful and in control. Most of us are like, I don't want to take care of my emotions. They're so scary. And it's like, they're not scary. They are the answer to feeling better. One at a time. Right now, we work on safety. That's all we got to worry about.
Okay.
And you'll get really good at stopping it enough because you feel safe. And then the next one will pop its little head up. Like, here I am. I'm eating for this reason now. And you're like, good to know. I'm glad I kept asking myself, am I enough? And when I don't stop, I just want to know why. Because every time I find a reason why, I've got something I can actually start solving so I can feel truly better in my life. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck up
Thank
there.
you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Oops. I think she turned it. Okay. That is it for today. We are out of people and we are out of questions. So there is a regain call that is starting in 11 minutes. So we will be back. I'm going to go potty. And then anybody who wants to come and get coaching on regains, you can come to that call. Okay. All right, see y'all in about 11 minutes. Bye, y'all.